It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Huge Raptors game tonight. The Rookie of the Year battle will be in full force. Let's talk to Bobby Marks about it. This insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Bobby Marks, former NBA executive and current ESPN NBA front office insider. Thanks for joining us this morning. Bobby, how's it going?
I'm good. Good morning. How's everyone?
We're excited. We got Raps, Cavs tonight. Massive standings implications, obviously, for the Raptors. But more exciting, I think, is the major Rookie of the Year battle, Scotty versus Mobley. Is there anything that our guy, Scotty Barnes, can do tonight to maybe sway those voters that might have him as a 1B in their rankings tonight?
Well, I think there's also a 1C. I think you could put Kate Cunningham. I'm sorry. I think you could put Kate Cunningham in the mix, but I don't want to steal the thunder away from tonight's matchup. I don't know if I don't think so. I mean, I think everyone looks at it as kind of the whole body of work and not an individual game. Certainly this game is heightened more based on, as you said, where these two teams sit in the standings. Both players are certainly playing at a high level. If Scotty comes out and gives you 30 and, you know, Evan struggles a little bit, then maybe it sways a little bit here. But I think the whole body of work comes into play a lot. But I think both organizations have a really, really good player, to build around. I think that's the most important thing, is that when you get these type of players and you have them on inexpensive contracts for 4 years, at least 4 years, and likely longer, and you hit on them, it just makes it a lot easier what you can do in free agency and in the draft in future years.
And Bobby, it's fairly rare for teams that are in the playoff picture to hit on rookies this high in the draft and have them contributing to winning like this. Obviously, we know the worst teams generally get the best picks, but you have to go back, other than Ben Simmons, you have to go back 15 years for the last time a Rookie of the Year came from a team that won more than 42 games. So this is pretty rare in terms of rookie impact. It's also pretty rare in terms of how the voting might shake out. It's a fairly novel season. I'm wondering how you weigh, maybe not as a voter, but as a, you know, as a former front office person, how do you compare and contrast what a Cade is doing in a losing environment where he's taking on a larger role and maybe showing some projectable role upside versus guys like Mobley and Barnes, who are helping teams win and maybe being asked to do a little bit less in terms of, you know, creation and things like that. But they're already contributing to winning. How do you contrast or compare across two very different rookie seasons like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's almost like how we weigh the MVP voting, right? I mean, we're not going to, I think Russell Westbrook was kind of the outlier. We're not going to find an MVP that's on a team that's just competing to get into a play-in or a playoff spot here. I think both guys' body of work throughout the whole, you know, since we got going here in October, I think outweigh what Cade has been able to do. I think Cade is an interesting story just because his team has played so well since the, basically since, I guess, February, and he's played at a high level. But as I said, like, you have to look at it over an 82-game schedule. As you mentioned, both players are impacting the playoff race, which is extremely rare. You know, I'm starting to write my off-season articles in, you know, Orlando and Houston, you know, two good examples, right? Like, I feel like it's like deja vu as far as when we're talking about the draft again, as far as where these two teams are going to be positioned. And that's not the case with Cleveland in Toronto here. And they've got their foundation piece for the future. So, yeah, I do think you have to take into account that both teams are, you know, one's 10 games over 500, the other is 8 games, over 500. And they do have to do a little bit less, you know, whether it be in Toronto based on, you know, the guys that are there already. He doesn't have to, Scotty doesn't have to do all the heavy lifting. I think if this team was, you know, 24 and 50 right now, then his numbers are going to be a little bit higher and we look at him a little bit differently. So I think, from a voting standpoint, I think the team success certainly has to play into, the MVP, the Rookie of the Year race.
So the team success will be highlighted tonight. Obviously, this game has big implications for the sixth seed as well. Toronto needs this win. Cleveland already has the tiebreaker. So, you know, the Raptors are effectively an extra game back to try to avoid the play-in. If you're one of these top teams in the East, and I know Miami, Philly, Milwaukee, and Boston are all neck and neck to sort out the 1-4 mess, which of Cleveland or Toronto do you want to play least? Like say Toronto, Cleveland, one of them's going to end up in the sixth seed. Do you try to avoid the three seed in some way? Which team are you more scared of in a playoff series?
Well, I mean, we tried avoiding Toronto. I mean, we tried to play Toronto in 2014, and almost came back and bit us in the rear end because we were resting guys toward the end. So I don't know if you want to, you know, try to pick your opponent. I would say that if I had my choice of playing Cleveland or Toronto, one of these top teams, I'd want to play Cleveland. I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, Toronto has the championship DNA. I know it's a little bit of a different team, and Kawhi's not there, and, you know, Gasol's not there, and Serge is not there, some of those other, you know, the veterans. But, you know, guys have been in big spots before. Fred's been in big spots before. Pascal's been in big spots. You know, kind of what they're going to go seven deep, I mean, or eight deep here. And I think Cleveland, this is a little bit new for them, right? Guys like, you know, Jarrett Aaron's been in a playoffs, but Darius Garland hasn't, you know, Kevin Love has, you know, Evan hasn't. So it's a new new experience for them. So I would think I would want to take my shot on Cleveland if I'm one of these, you know, teams that are sitting up in the top here.
I'll be honest, I don't think it's close. And I think that Cleveland could beat Toronto tonight. But, yeah, Milwaukee, if you're talking about like a Bucks team that really does have, I think, a clear advantage over the rest of the field. You're going to throw Precious Achiuwa, Pascal Siakam, potentially OG Anunoby, Scottie Barnes. Like, they're just a physical team that over the course of a playoff series I think would grate on you and wear on you. And they're not going away. They're well coached. You know, I don't view the Cavs and the Raptors actually in the same echelon when it comes to like what they would do to put the fear in you if you were like a Philly or a Boston or one of the fringier Eastern Conference contenders. But you said MVP. I want to go back to Barnes versus Mobley for one more second here. You said MVP when and you misspoke because you meant Rookie of the Year. And listen, I don't know if either guy has MVP ceiling, but It does raise a curious point because I've gone back and forth on this when watching Mobley and Barnes. Like, I've heard people make Tim Duncan comparisons to Mobley, which is a little over the top, and I know that's what we do sometimes. But who do you think has the higher ceiling out of those two guys? Like, if they reach their maximum potential, which guy do you think ends up, being the better player?
I think Scottie does. I think Scottie has Jason Tatum upside. I think that's kind of where I see him. I think he certainly is. Got to shoot the ball better, probably from three, or even more consistency. But I think that's the upside. I think that's the ceiling for Scottie Barnes. And I think the way Tatum has played right now, he's not going to be in the top three of MVP. But I think he could see his name on first team All NBA. I think Scottie Barnes probably has the more upside out of the two.
Yeah, and I think that Tatum will at some point end up in an MVP conversation, right? Like, it's such a stacked field right now, but if the Celtics do this again next year and Tatum's doing this again next year, then I have a hard time believing that he's not going to be in it. And yeah, I don't know. Barnes just, when I watch the two guys play, his ability to create with his ball handling already at that size, it seems like such a huge advantage. Like, we've been watching OG Anunoby here for a couple of years, and he's a guy with a lot of just, you know, physically impressive tools, and he hasn't really been able to play, like, he really hasn't been able to develop the ball handling in a way that makes him a consistent threat in the way that it is with, Barnes already early in his career. And I just look at it and I go, man, what's the upside of that? And yeah, that's not to take anything away from Mobley. He's incredible. But when I look at the two guys, I think that I tend to agree with you a little, and that's even as high as I am on a guy like Mobley. The question is, when it comes to this year though, and we are kind of trying to stack those like little things between the two of them, and we're going between, okay, well, who has what advantage? How do you weigh the Mobley defense this year? Because Blake brought up some numbers earlier of, hey, Jared Allen, obviously impacts this from a team standpoint a lot. But Mobley, if you just look up the matchups and what he's being asked to do on the defensive end night in, night out versus what Barnes has been asked to do with the Raptors, do you view a significant difference between those two guys this year, or is that a little overstated?
Yeah, I mean, I think that will play into a role. I think what's going to be interesting is here, and I talked about this, you know, we have so many people that vote that I don't know how many people are watching Evan Mobley's defense. I mean, that's the reality of it, you know, like it's unfair because they should, or, you know, as far as the whole totality of what he can do on the court here. And I just hope that, you know, people don't get caught up as far as, you know, judging these guys based off what they did in the first 50 games and look at them, you know, the last 2 weeks of the season plays a role here. So, yeah, I mean, I think what Evan's been able to do, certainly with Jarrett there now out, does play a role in it. And I think it's just going to be voter discretion, right? Like, that's going to be like, you know, I think that's going to be how, you know, this thing is going to go. And I think it's going to be extremely close. It's probably going to be one of the closer votes that we've had in a long time.
So, Bobby, we mentioned we talked about what kind of threat Toronto or Cleveland might be in a playoff series, but I want to go to the top of the East here. You mentioned Jason Tatum. Hey, he could get all NBA first team love. There's no team that's been hotter in basketball than the Boston Celtics the last little while. Miami is getting in fights on the bench. How would you tier the top of the Eastern Conference in terms of your confidence level in Miami, Philly, Milwaukee, Boston, and if you want to throw Brooklyn somewhere in there, especially now that Kyrie can play home games as of Sunday, by all means, slot them as well.
I actually don't think Brooklyn gets out of the first round. I don't. I mean, I've watched this team. I don't know where you're going to get stops. You know, I think offensively they're going to, you know, both try to outscore you. And certainly if you get Curry and Dragic back, who didn't play in the Memphis game, I'm not high. They got two tremendous offensive players, and Durant's an MVP player when he's healthy. I'm just not as high as on them just based on the whole, there's been so much going on this year, right? So like, so you've got to get through a play-in, probably maybe even two games, and then you're going to get Miami facing you in round one. I mean, good luck with that. I mean, so I'm not putting the Nets up there as far as where these other teams are. I think we can probably eliminate Chicago from the mix. They've certainly struggled. 0-16, I think, versus the top three teams in both conferences here. So I think for me, I like the Heat. I do. I know they haven't played well the last couple of games, but they were my team to go to win it all this year before the season starts. I think they do have that mentality. But as you saw last night, like things change awfully quick and it implodes quick. And they play Brooklyn over the weekend, so that will be interesting. You can never discount what Milwaukee's done based on last year, and, you know, this year it's a little bit inconsistent, but they still have the same parts except for PJ Tucker. Boston, as you mentioned, has played great. We'll see what happens when he gets to the playoffs. Defensively, one of probably the best teams in the league here. And Philly is a wild card because, let's face it, James Harden in the playoffs has not been good. And are we going to see a different player than we've seen in the past there?
So with the Harden situation in Philly, one thing that's really stood out, it's been almost unavoidable since they got him, is as much as it's helped Tyrese Maxey, it seems to have completely checked out Tobias Harris. When you look ahead to how, like, say it doesn't work this year, you're obviously still locked into Embiid. Harden has 1 year left where it's expected that he'll pick up that option before working on an extension. Do you see any market for them to be able to get off Tobias Harris to kind of add different pieces around the Harden MB core, or is this the Philly team we're looking at now?
I think it's going to be a challenge, you know, especially with their draft picks now limited going to two going out to Brooklyn. They still have one to Oklahoma City, and he's got, after this year, a couple more years left on his contract. I mean, yeah, I mean, if they want to just dump him to Oklahoma City with the cap space they have up until June 30th, maybe that, but you know, where are the draft picks going to come from? And what does that do from a cap space standpoint? They still have, Embiid and Harden make, close to, $80, $90 million here. So I think if there's a deal to upgrade the roster, I think it's going to be a little bit more challenging. It's kind of like, this is kind of who they are, you know, kind of who they are right now.
That's great. This is important balance. If we talk up the Celtics, it's necessary to talk down the 76ers and vice versa, just to maintain that right balance here in Toronto. Bobby Marks, thanks so much for taking the time this morning, man, and good luck with the 30-team offseason previews. I know you're probably neck deep in already.
I am. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, Bobby.
Bobby Marks, former NBA executive, current ESPN NBA front office insider, and that insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
So I know that today's focus is about previewing tonight's matchup between the Cavs and the Raptors and the Barnes versus Mobley MVP, Rookie of the Year race. It's the game of the year for the Raptors in terms of importance. I still believe that the Barnes Rookie of the Year candidacy is open. I think that the books have this one wrong in terms of the way that voters are going to look at it. I also think that, and this isn't just NBA writers and NBA voters in general, but yeah, there are some people that are going to say that they already made up their mind on Mobley. But I think that there are also going to be a lot of people that look at this more holistically, that take their vote quite seriously and are going to put in some time and some effort into this stuff. And tonight actually does feel like one of those games where if I'm a writer who has to watch every single game, and I'm doing the priority rankings of what game I need to watch tonight, this is number one, and that this is going to get a lot of eyeballs. So I do think tonight is going to matter. I don't think that it should supersize an entire season, but that it's going to have an impact tonight, what happens between the two of these teams. That said, I don't think that the Raptors and Cavs are on the same level in terms of playoff scariness. That thing that I mentioned to Bobby, it's funny because, you know, we do these championship tiers or contender tiers, and we have the Raptors on the outside looking in because they don't have the 1A scorer that you need when things get tight in the postseason, right? Like, they don't have a Tatum, they don't have a James Harden or a Joel Embiid, who come with question marks, as you said. You know, like, keeping them healthy over four series, that could be big. Harden's been a choker. It's a lot of different things with those guys. They don't have a Kevin Durant, so the Brooklyn Nets get more of a they get more credit. But if I'm actually saying, how do the Raptors stack up with all of those teams individually in one playoff series, I think they could beat any single one of them. I really do. I think Boston would beat Toronto, and that Milwaukee would beat Toronto. But those are the only two teams that I feel like it would be kind of a relative certainty. I think the Raps could beat Philly. I think the Raps could beat Brooklyn. I think the Raptors could absolutely upset those teams. Given Jimmy Butler, since the All-Star break, has not looked like the same guy. I don't want to write off Jimmy Butler's career, but he's not shooting the ball very well right now. He's fighting with teammates. The Heat have struggled of late. Like, they don't look like this world-beater juggernaut team. Every one of these Eastern Conference teams is pretty flawed. And I look at the Raptors right now in this window, and we're talking about Scottie Barnes, and okay, winning the Rookie of the Year award is important, but them maximizing his potential as a player is even more so, because if you just look at that Raptors trajectory that we talked about, it was always these two timelines, right? Pick a timeline. Are you in the Pascal timeline, or are you in the Scottie timeline? And the craziest thing about Scottie Barnes is that maybe he's been so good that he's time traveled. Yeah, he's merged the timelines. And all of a sudden, you're looking at this Raptors team and saying, well, what would it take for them to get up that tier? Like, it would take more consistent Scottie Barnes. It would take that version we saw against the Lakers the other night and saying, can you do that in a playoff series? And so getting this six seed to try to tie this all together, I think, is of even more importance, because that's what you want more than anything. Scottie Barnes in an actual series, not a play-in, not a scenario where you can get bounced, not a one-off weird game. You want Scottie Barnes in a playoff series against a team that the Raptors could potentially beat. You want to see Scottie Barnes potentially for two rounds, which I think is very much on the table.
I think your point about the Raptors being a scary playoff team is completely backed up by the fact that they own the NBA's best record against the league's top teams. This came out yesterday, that they're 10-5. With a record against the top three teams from each conference. That is pretty incredible. That's the best stat in the NBA. Yet they lose sometimes, and most of the time, to the worst teams. And I think that that is just an indication of them being able to elevate their game against those top teams, to come in and to have, you know, these incredible performances that most people don't expect. And they obviously are able to have that higher level of play. So when it comes down to the playoffs, I feel very confident that the Raptors can take on these teams because it's proven this season. Like they're leading the way in against big games, big teams. They can elevate when it matters. Unfortunately, they don't elevate against bad teams, but don't worry about that because those bad teams won't be in the playoffs.
Yeah, the not playing well against bad teams hurts you when you look at things like, oh, you're only a game back of the Cavs and 2.5 back of the Bulls. Those are wins you should have had and situations that you could have, like, you didn't do the easy stuff. You've done the hard stuff well. I've dove into those numbers a couple times throughout the year on this show in terms of, hey, how do they stack up against the top 10 versus whatever? And that's a case where, you know, hey, we were fading Boston a little bit against good teams early and hitting them against weak teams. And now Boston is suddenly the best team in basketball against the top 10 teams in the league by net rating. The one thing that I'd say is most encouraging as you go through those numbers, Ailish, is if we filter for, hey, just against the top 10 teams, and I'm only saying top 10, not because it's better than top three or whatever, but just because that's what cleaning the glass offers. The Raptors are the second best defense in basketball against those teams. And we know that when you get in a playoff series, the Raptors' half-court offense is going to struggle at times. That's a certainty. It's happened against bad defenses. It's happened against zone defenses. And your ability to play in transition might scale back a little bit in a playoff series. But the fact that their defense has shown, their defense, which on the season has been not disappointing, but when we did our fake props at the start of the year, we all picked the under 8.5 for their defense rank. We all thought they'd be a top 8 defense narrowly, and they're not there on the season, but they're the second, only Boston is better defending the top teams in the league. And I think when you look at what is this team's upside in a playoff series, when you get Nick Nurse and his staff game planning, you get guys who are locked in and not, you know, some guys who are playing 40 minutes and ease off late or are playing through injuries or whatever. If you project a reasonably healthy Raptors team, they're going to be really annoying to score. Like, the Heat cannot score on the Raptors. Giannis has a tough time against the Raptors. Joel Embiid puts up counting stats, and he had that one huge game when the Raptors
He was
didn't
miserable
have a lot.
That night. He was miserable that night. If Awful. You watch Joel Embiid like, night in, night out, you know that's he couldn't wait for
exhausted.
That game to end. Yeah.
Physically exhausted by the end. So I think you're right, Ailish, in highlighting that. I think that's an encouraging thing. I certainly feel better about it if they land the sixth seed, because the other side of these stats is that maybe you don't like them as much against Atlanta or Charlotte as we otherwise should. But you'd hope in a play-in game that level of locked in is there. I think it's great. I think it speaks a lot to what this team is and what the upside is already if they can get healthy for the playoffs. So good stuff.
They don't have guys you can pick on, Blake. They don't have guys that you pick on. Did you see that clip going around of Duncan Robinson talking about the finals with LeBron? And he's saying, hey, every time I'm on the floor, LeBron James is pointing directly at me and pulling me into a screen, right?
The Raptors, pulling me into the a Raptors switch. Do it to Duncan Robinson in regular season games. They run that of Pascal course. Fred OG pistol action. And it's like whoever ends up with Duncan Robinson on him, that's who's getting the ball and that's who we're running the offense through.
We may have taken the under 8.5 in terms of the Raptors' defensive ranking, and they might not be there, but there's no question that they're one of the toughest defensive teams in the NBA. They're higher than 8. They're in the top 5. I would argue that based on how they're playing right now, Boston would be there. Milwaukee is just going to be impossible because it's like they can throw Giannis, Middleton, and Drew at you for an entire game, and that is just, boy. But even still, you can attack a Lopez, right? You can attack an Allen. These are not guys that are impenetrable. The Raptors do not have guys that you can bring into switches. Gary Trent Jr. is arguably their worst defender, but he still finds ways to be impactful in these games, whether it's jumping passing lanes or with his active hands and getting steals. Like, this team is a nightmare in a playoff series. A nightmare. Yeah. We started the year with this, oh, the Raptors are annoying, and we thought it was cute, and now it's like, no. It's really not cute. They are not. Nobody wants to play them. It's funny. Okay, I got Vic to get this audio that I'm not going to throw to, but I'm just going to reference it. It was Shaq on the panel talking about trying to avoid teams, right? He was asked the question of should – I can't remember what exactly the seeding is now, but it's like 2 or 3. I don't have it in front of me. Trying to avoid essentially a first-round matchup with Brooklyn. And I thought, yeah, of course you should try to avoid a first-round matchup with Brooklyn. But if the scenario was, would you like to play Brooklyn or the Raptors, what is the actual gap in that? And I don't think that it's that great. Brooklyn is not good. Brooklyn is not there. And they might be next year when they get Ben Simmons, but word is he might not play this year. And it feels more and more like he's not playing this year. Maybe once they factor him in, they're going to be a more dangerous out. But they just kind of feel like the group that is not putting it together this year. And if you're talking about like toughness in a playoff series, yes, Kevin Durant is scary. Kyrie Irving is scary. Those guys going late toe-to-toe with you are going to be impossible. They do have the edge over the Raptors. But over the course of us, if you're Philly, I almost feel like, man, I don't want James Harden and Joel Embiid playing against the Raptors. I'd rather take my shot against the Nets. I really would.
Yeah, I think the gap here is a matter of perspective and goal too, right? Where I think of all the time when it comes to tough playoff series, like that Wayne Gretzky story from the first time they made it to the Cup with the Oilers. And like he looks in the Islanders locker room and it's, yeah, guys are celebrating, but everyone's got ice packs on and they're mostly just sitting at their stall drinking a beer. And it kind of dawns on this young Oilers team that that's what it takes. And the Raptors have been through that, right? Like that is here. That institutional experience is still here with Fred and Pascal and those guys. If I'm one of the top teams in the East, I probably like my chances of beating the Raptors in a series better than against the Nets. Same. But if your goal is to win the NBA championship, I think the Raptors weaken you more for future rounds by dragging out the series, by playing a physical style, by making life hard on your Joel Embiids or your Bam Adebayos or your Giannis's. I think that the Raptors are, you'd choose to play the Raptors over the Nets, but the Raptors take a bigger toll that you carry on with you through the rest of the playoffs. And we've been through it, right? We've seen what four tough playoff series or a playoff series and then three tough ones stacked on top of each other looks like physically by the end. And you know, even one series like that Philly series in the championship year, what that looks like by the end, that's a real factor. Your ability to withstand that and like go through the grind of the playoffs are 2 months. You don't want to start that off with your guys getting beat up and stretching that out 6-7 games. I think the Raptors they're annoying.
Look at how many guys you can attack on Brooklyn.
Yep.
There's a reason why the Grizzlies are an impressive team, but that game last night, I think they had three players with over 20 points.
Yeah.
Buckets.
DeAnthony Melton and Desmond Bain, just like, and Dylan Brooks. Yep. But those guys just attacked Kyrie and the rest of the guard. Like, especially, I know Curry and Dragic aren't the world's best defenders, but they're guys, and it leaves you with not a lot of other options when those guys are out.
But those guys have to
attack
play.
Defenders. Exactly.
Those guys, look how small. Look, the Raptors are this long team full of just absolutely ferocious defenders who can guard you out to the perimeter and then can guard you all the way inside. The Nets are tiny. Patty Mills, Kyrie Irving, Seth Curry. Like, that's your perimeter defenders. That's the point of attack.
And if they want to go bigger, like, you're starting our guy Big Cass, and you're playing James Johnson regular rotation minutes.
They don't have options to be tough.
Yeah, I think fondly of a few of James Johnson's Toronto and Miami years. He's not a playoff rotation caliber player at this point anymore. And that's the kind of guy they have to turn to if they want some size in their lineup.
Where I'm going with this, though, is that I do think that the Raptors they're not a contender this year, because I do think they have a cap in terms of the depth in which they can go. I don't think that they're going to beat a Milwaukee in a playoff series or a Boston at their best in a playoff series because of that half-court offensive struggle. And we've seen this time and time again, right, where playoff basketball is different than regular season basketball when the stakes are the highest. To have that consistency night in, night out, I think the Raptors can show flashes of it. They'll take games off of you, but they're not going to have enough to be able to go win multiple playoff rounds and then win a championship there this year. However, I think in a one-off series against just about anybody, there really is a case in terms of who you would want to face in a series between them and just about anybody in the Eastern Conference outside of, like I said, Milwaukee and Boston right now. And that includes Brooklyn. Like, I view Brooklyn in that tier. One playoff series against flawed teams, Raptors are good as good as anybody. Multiple wins, going deep in the playoffs, not this year, but Scotty Barnes, like I said, merging the timelines with what he's doing with Pascal Siakam right now and potentially changes that as early as next season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like that, and I like the kind of time travel Scotty Barnes. Like, he's a what is the Marvel guy, Doctor Strange, who has the parallel timelines and he can manipulate them and stuff. Scotty Barnes has got a little bit of that going. Let's see if we can
manipulate. Doctor Strange
manipulate.
Is not a good handle. Like, you know, it's not Doctor Strange? Like, ugh. Like, it's not.
Someone recommends you for a new
deal?
Doctor.
Is he cool? What's his deal? Your friend Strange, is he interesting? Something else we'd like to change and shift to a parallel timeline is the Wake and Rake. We're down bad. We're going to get back on the right track. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.
Everything Raptors before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan, Blake Murphy, J.D. Bunkus, Ailish Forfar. Our last segment today, we're an hour shorter. Blair and Barker
Nap
will be coming
time.
To you 9 to 10, and then Jeff Blair and Vivek Jacob from 10 to 12 today and tomorrow, teeing up that Canada soccer game tonight. That is the second biggest thing on the slate tonight. The biggest, of course, is can we bounce back from literally the worst Wake and Rake of all time? Last night, the first time we've gone 0-3.
It's Baby Friday. The vibes are good. We got good games tonight. You know, we had to get that big loss out of the way.
We have a loaded slate to pick from tonight. Not only do we have Canada trying to punch their ticket to the World Cup officially, we have 10 NHL games, 5 NBA games, the Sweet 16 in men's basketball, 4 of those games. There's a lot to pick from. I will say this. I'm done betting on the NIT. I don't think go back to the well with the National Invitational Tournament. You saw for a little bit there what I was thinking with Wake Forest. It wasn't close. Wake Forest cut it to like 9 or 10 with this nice little run to start the second half, and then they just died. Not great.
It was not good.
Don't trust the analytics. I'm turning on the nerds now.
I got to tell you, the analytics one on that was tough to swallow because
a game. But I rode Wake Forest to that point. So it was like the earlier rounds, it was okay.
Here's the thing,
and I just tried
now. About when what we won. Like, and you know what? Even yesterday was just awful. Like this is one where not only did we go 0-3, but yesterday was one of those like I loved the NBA slate and I was wrong on everything. I'm actually starting to feel cursed because I picked the Heat to beat the Sixers, and then Embiid and Harden both get announced out, and I go, okay, great, free money night. I already got this bet in. I bet it at an incredible number. The line moves massively. Great.
7 points the line moved.
Line moved 7 points, and I bought it early, and I go, this is incredible. And they found a way to lose, right? They find a way to lose, and Tyrese Maxey kills me, and the Heat lose it.
Yeah. By the way, this is the real reason you're so down on the Nets.
I bet the – no, I was down on the Nets before, but I really did think that this was going to be a good road performance for them. It also – I got to tell you, like, you know me. I'm a story gambler. I bet the story. The news of Kyrie being told that he was going to get to play in every game down the stretch right before he played a road game made me feel – bad. Even though Kyrie and KD both played great and Kyrie wasn't a part of losing it, there was a part of me that went, oh, no, I don't want this news tonight. Like, I want this news tomorrow or next week or some other time.
You wanted angry Kyrie. You didn't want foot off the
gas. Yeah, I wanted I wanted the Nets to feel like we have a sense of urgency with every single game we play
on
the road.
They should still, but they obviously don't.
They don't. They don't at all. They lost that game. But it was another one where, again, they score a million points and Ja Morant is out. And Desmond Bane, should be a Toronto Raptor, if the Raptors would have listened to Blake Murphy, he just absolutely kills me. Melton kills me. Like, it's a curse. I feel like I got hexed. I feel like we did all this bragging about how good the Wake and Rake is because it still is incredible. And that's why I still won't take any abuse from any of you who are down on the streak or anybody who sends me a message during a loss right now. I'm so sour and so cursed that I just automatically mute you into oblivion. Like, I'll never see your message ever. Like, it's
muted,
it's
to smithereens.
Gone.
Yeah,
muted or blocked into, like, the you're in moon jail, like permanent moon jail. You can never get out of it. Like, literally all the money that we have made this year for people to get off right now, fine. Leave now. You're going to look like a fool. You're going to look like a fool. The track record is legit. The track record is real. But yes, I'm feeling cursed. That said,
let's end that.
I was just going to say, as an addendum to your NBA night, the worst possible feeling when you have a bad NBA night and you are a Toronto-based person is that the one outcome that I was heavy on
Celtics.
That actually came through was the Celtics. It feels so dirty that's the one win that salvages a little bit of your night, that it's the Celtics. And I've made a decent amount on the Celtics this year, but it doesn't feel good.
Okay, so
I like it.
I'll never understand Raptors fans' hate for the Celtics so much. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like there's no they lost in the one playoff series. That was it. But
this goes back to like 2015. Like Raptors fans and Celtics fans, and like it's really sad. Like was that era where LeBron's Cavs were obviously winning the East every year, and Raptors and Celtics would like basically for years argue about who's second best. And it's really pathetic. But
I've just always liked the Celtics. I've always been a bit of a Celtics guy, and
they've been good for a long time. And Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, Robert Williams, those are not hard guys to enjoy watching play.
So tonight, quickly. On the two local things, because then we'll get to our best bets. But yes, I think the Raptors -4, it might be, I don't really love the -4 element to this necessarily. Like, I feel like it could be a tight game, but I do think the Raptors are going to win. Like, I really do. I think that this is a Raptors win tonight. Cleveland does not impress me very much without Jared Allen. He is by far the scariest element of playing against Cleveland if you are the Raptors. And you saw that when these two teams played, is just the impact that Jared Allen had in the first half or the first quarter when he played. Their ability to go to that Darius Garland, Jared Allen pick and roll, where Allen can catch just about any lob in any stratosphere against a shorter Raptors team, it's really hard for them to defend. No Jared Allen, no Cleveland bet. I think the Raptors are a better team. I think that the Raptors know that this is their season that's on the line tonight. I like the Raps here. I think that they're going to win, even though they're 0-3 against Cleveland this season. This is just a really good spot for them.
You're also a bet the story guy, and you'd have to think that the Raptors, who are healthy and available, will want this for Scottie Barnes too, right? In addition for
who is
the
out?
Seating. So
injury.
OG and Gary Trent are both questionable, but the word from practice yesterday was I would lean toward them not playing. Like, OG hasn't done a full practice yet. Trent was still sore, and he like went to get x-rays on his toe and everything. So Nick Nurse made it seem yesterday at practice like he's not expecting them tonight. This would not be the first time the Raptors were not, I don't want to say truthful.
Forthright.
But they weren't the most open about injury status. But I would lean toward no OG, no Trent, obviously no Jared Allen on the Cavs side. And Fred VanVleet is not on the injury report, so he's good to go.
I would say this, though. I'm going to be patient betting it because Gary Trent Jr. matters to me in this matchup. Like, he really does. And I want the spacing of Trent. I want the having a ball handler who can create late in the shot clock against this team. He has real value here. So I would say that I'm gonna wait before actually betting this. But if Gary Trent plays, I absolutely like the Raptors as a parlay piece. And yes, I'm a story better. I like the Raptors story right now better. I like the team better. But I want to see Gary Trent Jr. play. So do you, Ailish, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I don't see the Raptors player props up, but I would be looking at a Scottie Barnes over points or something. I just feel like, as we said all day, the narrative is there. I want to see him have a good night. So I'd probably get
rebounds
that.
Might be the play there. In the two games against the Cavs he's appeared in, he had 9 and 12 rebounds. That 9 came with Jared Allen also in the lineup. And the 12 was that game the other week where Allen only played 10 minutes. Barnes rebound props, that's something I've been playing whenever it hits 6.5. Some nights it's 7.5, and you got to think on it a little more. But that's something to have on the radar. Evan Mobley double-double is also +125 if you think that narrative, that rookie of the year thing plays both ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing locally is, of course,
Canada
soccer. Mm-hmm. Against Costa Rica on the road. Canada's 140 to win. They're minus 275 double chance, which is win or draw. Do you feel, and a draw outright, if we're playing the, hey, don't fumble it, but you get to clinch at home,
uh-huh.
a draw Ooh. At plus 190 maybe is your play.
Like I like that one.
Yeah. I think the double chance is the bet tonight.
Minus 275.
Yeah, I know. But I think as a parlay piece, that's what
questioning it. I was just double checking that we're on the same
page. Yeah, no, I mean like I don't feel confident enough in this matchup. There's too many, like, I don't know what the lineup is yet. I don't know whether they're going to try to clinch this game tonight. Like, I know they're trying to clinch, thank you. They're always trying to win, but the matchups matter. As a Canada's number one soccer fan, I have always known that there's a difference in terms of how they deploy these lineups and who starts and who plays. And I want to see who's actually in there tonight and what they deploy and how urgent they try to make this in terms of going for a win tonight versus the trying to clinch at home and what they do here on the road. So the total is very low. The book is expecting a low scoring game here because it's a plus number for just two, like a flat push on a two. So on a game like that, I would say, of course, I always lean Canada soccer, especially given the way that they've played, and it's Canada. Why wouldn't I?
Well, nobody knows this program better than you, Canada's foremost soccer journalist.
I mean, maybe Di Rosario. Like, you know, like maybe him. I'll give it to him. But yeah, this is a double chance play in a parlay for me, and there's nothing else that I'm crazy about until, again, I see the lineups and after I listen to Blair and Vivek after our show today and get a better feel for what's going on tonight.
So what? I was gonna say outside of Toronto and Canada, what do we like tonight? Again, 10 NHL games, but 8 of those are very heavy favorites. 5 NBA games, including the Raptors. Two of those NBA games are also massive favorites. Memphis and Milwaukee both 12.5 point faves.
Minus 800 for money line on those. That's gross.
Yeah, 4 men's college basketball games, of course. And then the lines aren't up yet, but you can always do your Blue Jays money line. We avoided it yesterday, and it was the right call. But who knows? Maybe some bats are back in the lineup today. Oh, you didn't avoid it?
It was close at the end. They came back, and I was like, here we go, boys.
Oh, do they pay out for close now?
I wish.
Ailish, what do you like tonight?
Oh, I definitely want to go March Madness because I missed all of your earlier March Madness bets, and I am 0-3 this week in NHL, so I don't even want to look at the NHL. So I have Arizona winning. You guys have Arizona winning the national championship. I'm a little worried about their last game and how they had to squeak through. They're minus 1.5 over Houston, but minus 125 money line. I'm intrigued, but I think a safer bet would be Villanova, but it's not in our range. They're minus 220.
Well, you could go with the spread then.
I could go with the spread, which is minus 5. I just kind of wanted to ponder what you guys are interested in terms of narratives for tonight.
So Arizona-Houston's a no play for me because those were the two teams that I put March Madness, like, to win the whole thing futures on. So I'm already invested in both of those teams, and I don't want to do the hedge around it. Like, I win either way, and I don't want to touch it. Also, like, I picked Arizona to win the whole thing, but Houston, JD, you were on with us last week. Like, I was banging the Houston drum. They were so underseeded as a 5 seed, and they're a scary upset team. So the other lines are Villanova minus 5, Texas Tech minus 1 against Duke, and Gonzaga minus 9.5 against Arkansas. Gonzaga has not covered a spread in a month. They just keep getting these monster spreads. That's only 5 games, and Arkansas isn't super impressive so far, but interesting that the spreads have generally been too big on Gonzaga games. So, JD, do you like anything from that group?
I actually kind of do like Gonzaga to smash Arkansas tonight. I think that this is going to be this game going to start early and be ugly. It's up to 10. I'm seeing it in some places, but I think that I would kind of play it up to that number. The other games, I actually think that I lean probably. These are just lean plays for me, but I'm kind of leaning with Michigan. I've liked the way that they've looked in the tournament so far. I'm sort of leaning with Duke. I liked the finish to their game against Michigan State. And I just think that they've got four guys who are playing really well right now. I've been giving Blake some Duke takes off to the side.
Your Mark backer. Williams take.
Yeah,
give me some takes.
Well, just it's simple. It's just that I think that Mark Williams is going to go between where the Raptors would have had their pick with Thad Young versus not. And I like him as a fit for this team. I would have liked them to have drafted him in that range. The Wildcats-Cougars game to me is as coin tossy as it gets. But yeah, of course, I'm an Arizona backer, so I'm betting them with my heart. If Brandon Ingram is still not playing for the Pelicans,
he is doubtful.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of leaning towards another coin toss game tonight, though, here with the Bulls.
DeMar is questionable, to put that on your radar.
I just get one night without a queen?
I feel like such a killjoy all the time in this role, yes. But like I feel like I have to.
It's nice, though. We need it.
I need to get the DeMar DeRozan injury status in terms of whether or not he's going to play.
He has an adductor strain, so that's like, basically bad. in your groin. That's not something you want to push.
No, that's not. That's a less than 50% chance. Great. Yeah.
It's also the one injury that he ever missed significant time with in Toronto was an adductor. I think he actually tore his adductor, but he missed like 19 games that one year.
I felt so good about that pick tonight. Like I just looked at the Pelicans and went, this is a soft spot where they're getting a little bit too much credit and the Bulls are not getting enough. But no, I'm not going to touch that because of what we just said there. So,
My pick if you need a moment.
No. I'm just really considering whether or not I'm going to lay a lot of points tonight. Like that's basically the question is, do I lay a lot of points with this Bucks team with 12.5 or do I lay 9.5 with the Gonzaga Bulldogs and think that they win by double digits? That's what I'm down to.
We can't give you any influence, JD. This is your, battle to face.
This is your battle. Yeah. Listen, this is the thing when you're in a hole, you look at everything.
Well, I'm in a hole too.
This is through the lens of, except for I feel like there's probably a decent difference in terms of what the two of us have lost, considering that your tagline is just $5. And I don't think
losing the rent, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever bet $5, like not since I was a child. And literally I was a child where I'd bet like my grandfather $5 and he would try to take advantage of me knowing injury reports or knowing just way more about sports than I do. Awful. Truly hate it. Truly hate the slate. Blake, take it. I need more time to think on this.
Okay, Ailish, what are you going with?
Raptors money line.
All right. Just straight up, eh?
Just straight up.
Yeah. Bet that. I mean, this is a tough one because I was going to say bet it early because if it comes out that Trent's in, it probably moves the line to a less favorable spot, maybe even outside of the wake and rake parameters. But if Trent's out, you could get a cheaper, closer tip off. So do whatever you feel like. Okay.
I clicked it and it moved from 170 to 185. So I'm not loving that, but
so
my pick.
NHL slates, tons of heavy favorites. Only 4 of the 10 games would even fit in our wake and rake parameters. I'm looking at one of those heavy favorite games, but I'm not. So Carolina technically would just squeak in against Dallas. I'm instead going to go with the under 6.0. In that game, it opened at 5.5, so it's right on the fringe there. Carolina's hit the under in 8 of their last 9 games, and none of those over-unders have been higher than 6. It's a battle of two goalies with a 928 and 917 save percentage, and both of those teams, on average, suppress opponent shots. So I like that spot as an under, Carolina-Dallas.
Okay.
JD, you're out of time.
I'm going to go with something that has been pretty tried, tested, and true. And it actually hasn't been very strong as of late in terms of their hit percentage. But I keep having these feelings of this test, and this is something I want almost a number crunch from you, Blake, is I cannot imagine there has been many years quite like this with NHL totals where it feels like there are some nights where every game but one will end up going over. And last night was a weird one, no, because Colorado and Vancouver went under. There were a couple yesterday. The Leafs game was a massive under. But I'm going to go in the opposite direction, even as things are tightening up. I'm going to take the Panthers and the Habs over 6.5. I just think that there's going to be goals in this game. And I just think that these are two teams that you can kind of bank on with goal scoring, at least goal scoring against with the Habs with Florida and that offense. So, yeah, I'm going to take Florida in a rout. And I'm going
up
to...
Up until their game earlier this week against Boston, the Habs were on a 9-game streak of over or push every single night.
Nice. Yeah.
And so I'm going to bet the over 6.5 Florida Panthers, Montreal Canadiens. That's going to be my bet.
All right. So your wake and rake to review is Toronto Raptors on the money line. Carolina and Dallas under 6.0. Montreal and Florida over 6.5. And of course, you can get a little action in on your Canadian men's national soccer team. Did they clinch? Do they wait until Sunday? Do they try to wait until Sunday and then other matchups have them clinching anyway? We'll see. That should be a really fun game. Raptors-Cavs should be really fun. Mobley against Barnes. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, Sweet 16 tonight too. What a loaded sports night as far as a Thursday in March without the Leafs.
Sit goes. On your couch.
We'll be back tomorrow to talk through all of this with you. A reminder, we're cutting an hour short. You got Blair and Barker next, and then 10 to 12. It's Jeff Blair and Vivek Jacob doing a special soccer show today and tomorrow as Canada tries to qualify for the World Cup. This has been the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.